Good afternoon. Probably last time some of you saw me was over at Lakeland when we had that marriage seminar, and they asked me to speak on romance. So I had to do some study on it. I've only got four kids, but maybe that's people who only have two think someone with four is romantic, or that's the study proved that that is not the essence of romance, that there are different things. Anyway, that was beautiful music, absolutely gorgeous. Thank you so much. I enjoy the quintet that you have that accompanies our singing here. Since you have this, is there any reason not to do something from Vivaldi's The Four Seasons here? I see no reason not. You've got everything you need. There's just, go for it. You just need that. You need somebody, I don't know. And if you're going to do that, I want to come back for it. Well, how nice to see some people. I look around and I'd have to tell you, I tell the same tired joke up in Nashville all the time when we have a lot of visitors. You heard it, I guess. Didn't I do it last week up in Nashville where I said, I know we have a lot of visitors and I see a lot of strange faces out in the audience, and they're the people who attend here every week. So poor Nashville puts up with that. They've heard that joke many, many times. So, it was nice to hear the gentleman giving the sermonette. I have known him since 1973 down in Miami. Do any of you remember when I lived down in that area? Any of you? Few? And I'd come up here occasionally and was here at St. Pete for the feast for 3 years. 1 year we went to the Bahamas. We were asked to go over to the Bahamas, so it was the 4 years we were down here. I'll tell you, we went to the feast in Bushkill, Pennsylvania. It's near the Poconos this year. We go every odd-numbered year to Nigeria. And every even-numbered year, so far anyway, for the last 11 years, We went up there, and it was very encouraging for me. I was the pastor. I was in the Baltimore-Richmond area from 65 to 69, and then up in the Boston, all New England, had most of six states up there, Boston, Concord, New Hampshire, from 69 to 73, and then came down here from 73 to 77, and then went to Little Rock and 9 years. But anyway, I hadn't really seen this area. It was so nice to have so many people come up. Now, I would not have known them, many of them, had they not told me who they were, because I, like in Boston, I left up there many years ago. And to come down in 73. I've had people come up and they had kids, and, you know, kids were almost grown. They said, oh, I was a little kid in church up here in Boston when you were here. And I would grab them, and other people, many would come up. Some of them just look so old. Don't know why. I had a full head of dark hair when I was up there. I did actually here in Florida when I had a full head of black hair till I was 50. But they'd come up and tell me who they were, and I'd say, oh, I'd hug them. I'd say, oh, I am so thankful that you're hung in there. Not everything I did was wood, hay, and stubble. So it was really very encouraging to have people come up, and people who had been in the Richmond congregation that I was able to see. One man I'd thought about for years and years and years, whatever happened to him. And he was actually not in Bushkill, but I saw him in Roanoke, Virginia, coming back from Bushkill. But he had been in the Richmond congregation years and years ago. So that was very encouraging to see those who have stayed. And, of course, the people who have been in Florida, who have remained faithful, back in paradise. Here I am, back in paradise. I used to call it paradise. Some of you might remember that knew me, but I would always say, this is paradise, but Lucretia calls it roach heaven. I'll have to tell you that she's learned to like roaches a little better. We go to Nigeria, and we were on a trip between Owerri, Nigeria, and Benin City, and it's about a seven-hour drive, hot, no air conditioning, usually no seatbelts. Don't remember if it had seatbelts that time. And we were stopped by the police, which is common, and they try to shake you down. And they found something wrong, they said, with the car that we had hired. No American in his right mind would drive in Nigeria. But the whole thing is hold you up, and it's hot, and it's baking, and there's no air coming in because you're stopped. And I didn't know this, but one of the policemen, when I wasn't looking, aimed his AK-47 right at Lucretia's head. And this was negotiations. I mean, he wouldn't have shot her. It just doesn't go over well if you shoot an American. And you don't get any money out of them if you know. Or maybe you do off their dead body. But it was right in the middle of town. And it was hot, and she was miserable, and she can't take the heat very well. So we finally got into Benin City, and we got into this little hotel that you would not stay in. You would not, you know, for the feast or anything else, probably. A Motel 6 would look really good about that time. But it wasn't all that bad. It had little sheer curtains on the windows, and it had electricity most of the time, so it had a little air conditioning. But we walked in the room, there was a big old roach right on the curtains. And Lucretia said, that's the best looking roach I've ever seen in my life. Just to be out, she said, to be off of the road, to be out of that chaos and confusion, whatever, I forget all, that was the whole idea. So she has learned to like roaches a little bit. I recognize some of you. Some of you look a little older. Say, Mike Willie certainly looks different than he did. I don't know, how old were you back in 73? How old would you have been? 17. Okay. Yeah. I do have a message to give you. We got plenty of time. Look at this. Let me put it over on my stopwatch just to keep an idea how long it is. There we go. You thought that was the message, right? Ministers' wives get to hear the same sermon twice. Well, actually, they would feel happy if they only heard it twice, because they usually get to hear it here. Of course, they heard it back in Lubbock, Texas, and then up in Spokane, so, and several times there also. So it's only fair that I give the same sermon that I gave over in St. Pete this morning, just for the sake of Mr. David Trebig. He needs to know what it's like. I'd got to know what it was like when Mr. Waterhouse would come to visit. Although it'd be a little different, everything, because he did not keep things exactly the same. I mean, it was fascinating I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it to be with him. I want to talk about something the Bible tells us to remind people about. It's something I don't remind people about that often, but it says we should. And it's respect, and respect for each other. We live in a society that has begun to lose respect. For instance, people will call the president by his first name or his last name, won't say Mr. or President. I did hear a newsman the other day who referred to Obama, and they said, let me take that back. I mean, Mr. Obama. He didn't say President Obama. He said Mr. Obama, so he corrected himself. But people will call the president Barack. They will call him Obama. People called George Bush, President George Bush, George. And many times in the last President Bush, they just called him W. And, you know, it's very disrespectful. Now, when I grew up, I was born in 1940, and people were very respectful. Now, I don't remember. I remember the war. I remember Dad wearing a uniform. I remember the brown bomber, Joe Lewis. How many of you remember Joe Lewis? There you go. I heard a lot about him, but I never heard about President Roosevelt. I don't know why. I should have remembered. I remembered things from that time, but I don't remember seeing him or hearing about him. But I do remember President Truman very well, seeing pictures of him. He would go out. He could walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. He'd just get out and he'd wear his hat, and he had a cane. He didn't really need a cane, but it was kind of a dignified thing to have a cane. And he'd just every now and then go out and walk down the street and come back. Never heard anybody back at that time. Well, they would say give him H. Harry sometimes, so that's true. But normally people were very respectful. And we have gotten to where sometimes our disagreement with the president or the Congress, and I totally, totally, totally disagree with President Obama's stance on abortion. It just tears me up to think about, you know, all the children, little babies. It's just horrible to me, just horrible. What's more precious than a baby? And to think that that it's okay to have abortions, and I won't get into that, but it's okay to disagree. But you know, the Bible teaches us that we should respect our leaders and pray for them. And people speak disrespectfully around us. To me, actually, I don't think it's as bad now as it was in the 60s. It really got bad in the 60s. But all of those people who back then, you remember, they used to say, you never trust anybody over 30. All those people are in their 60s now. So, good that happened. I want to say that I think the Bible teaches we should speak respectfully of the president, even when it's okay to say you disagree. Of governors, mayors, police, judges, religious leaders, husbands, wives, parents. I'll tell you what, a lot of people are afraid to teach their children to honor your parents. They feel like, well, you know, that's exalting myself. The Bible says we're to talk to our children when we're on the way, when we come back in, when we rise, when we lie down, to teach them the commandments. All the commandments. He said that I teach you here today. And he just finished the Ten Commandments. And one of those is honor your father and mother. And it seems like you're kind of glorifying yourself when you're teaching your kids that. But kids need to know to honor their parents. And I realize, and here's the rub, what if a parent is not honorable? What if a parent is not honorable? What if a president is not honorable? Some of them have done very dishonorable things. President Clinton lived in a way to where he did some things that you and I would consider very immoral. And yet that's an office established by God. To say that I think that's immoral. Now, on the other hand, President Obama, who also, none of us are going to agree with each other on everything, seems to set a very fine example as a husband and father. In their family life, they seem to set a fine example. And I appreciate that. And I want to talk about that and go through some verses and talk about the difficulty. And I realize the difficulty if a parent is dishonorable. I have a son-in-law whose mother is an alcoholic. and she beat him terribly. And it's hard for him to show her the honor he wants to show, because every time he gets together with her, she tries to do something negative. She's tried to break up their marriage. She just, I don't know, maybe has a jealousy that he likes another woman besides his mother. So it's very difficult for him to, it's a difficult thing. He tries to do it, and he should try to honor his mother, but yet not be so close to her that it's going to negatively affect his family at the same time. I want to read Romans 13 and verses 1 through 7. And as we read this, I want us to think about the people that he was writing to. Where did they live? You know, the old, who's buried in Grant's tomb? You know, the old quiz. And where did the Romans live? In Rome. Who was the emperor? I just happened to notice as I was going through a commentary looking this up, and as I went through it, it reminded me of something, of who, or maybe it was not the commentary, it was it was the NIV, but it's one that has all the notes in there. And it commented in there, that's where I saw it. You're nodding, you got one of those red books. What? I'm trying to think of the name of that actual Bible, but it's got a lot of notes in there, and it said, it tells who the emperor was at this time. Anybody happen to know that offhand? Nero. It was Nero. I had to be reminded of that. So he's writing to people whose king is Nero. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Wow. The authorities, God allows horrible rulers at times. I've heard people get the government they deserve. Well, I'll tell you what, there have been some horrible rulers. We think of our rulers. Brethren, you should go with me to Nigeria. Now, the worst one that I saw over there was when I first went, there was a military general who was ruling, and he was really harsh. His name, Sani Abacha. And we were going, when I first went was 1990, and we were going down a street, and there were some military there, and Joseph Forson, who was the pastor in Lagos, said, put your camera on the floor, and do not look at these men. Do not give them any eye contact. Don't give them any excuse, because they are the personal guard of Sani Abacha, and they can do anything they want. And they do anything they want. So I put the camera on the floor. It's illegal, actually, to take a picture of a policeman or a military or any government building. So I put it on the floor, and we went by them. And I told this morning, and I just want to put the fear into you here, that I prayed about the government. It was so bad, and our members were having to live through it. And I prayed about a year for God to improve that government. I didn't say to do anything. I didn't tell him what to do. I just said, please improve it for the sake of our members over there, because it was a really... I give you an example. The room that they met in, that the church owned at the time, was unpainted, it was miserable, it looked bad, and I said to Mr. Forson, why don't you paint this? And he said, if we do, the government will confiscate it for themselves. If you have anything nice, somebody will come in, some authority will come in and just take it. So I was praying about it. And after about a year, Sani Abacha just dropped dead. So don't cross me. No, I have no idea if my prayer had anything to do with that, but the government has improved. The next man who came in was much better, President Obasanjo. And then the next president came in, was even better than he was, but he just died himself recently, Yar'Adua. And so now they have another president who seems like a decent soul. I mean, the government is not wonderful over there, but compared to what it was, it's better. Compared to here, it's horrible. The police, you know, there's a very, very corrupt area. Anyway, still, God allows that. And I just have to learn to accept. Sometimes, here, a president that I wouldn't have chosen. Maybe a governor that I wouldn't have chosen. A taxation system that I wouldn't have chosen. Going into debt heavily that I wouldn't have chosen. I prayed that we would not go into Iraq. Now, some of you might have prayed that we would go. And you won. If you prayed that, you won. But I prayed we wouldn't go. Your prayers were better than mine. But the reason I prayed that was because I said, I kept telling Lucretia, we haven't finished what we started in Afghanistan. They need to put the necessary equipment. Well, you know, I was getting involved in the thing, troubles of this world. It's none of my business, but I just left it. I put it in God's hands. And when I was young, they used to speak of guns or butter. I never hear that expression anymore. Some of you may have never even heard the expression guns or butter. There's a young man shaking his head, never heard it. But it used to be that we would say that as a country, we either had to spend our money on guns or butter. You couldn't spend it on both. Because you don't go, you know, we did go into debt after World War II, and then we got out of debt. Mostly out of debt. We don't do that anymore. We want guns and butter. And to go in debt, I disagree with that. But look, I don't know if I'm there trying to plug the hole in the dike, it may be God on the other side digging the hole bigger. I don't know what he wants, so I just have to leave it with him. And they're appointed by God. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, that's a generalization. Was it Nero who killed Paul? So here Paul is writing to... Nero is the one... I didn't mention this morning, probably shouldn't this afternoon, but I don't always have good sense. He's the one, this is sad, he would take, and was it Christians, I think, and they would put tar on them and would impale them, at least they were dead, and put tar on them and set fire to it and let the bodies burn to give light for his outdoor parties. Paul is writing this. Verse, you know, if you resist... You resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. See? They mostly do good things. They're not a terror to good works. Sometimes that's a generalization. But you know something? If there is someone prowling outside of my house or your house, what are you going to do? Dial 911, right? You're going to want to see those blue lights. Maybe not in your rearview mirror, but when you want a policeman, you know, we're commanded to show respect to the police. Some presidents are good, some are corrupt. Some politicians, some senators, happily in this country they can change them, but some senators are corrupt, some are good. Some congressmen... What is the approval rating for Congress is now 13%? And I know what most of you are thinking. You're thinking, what's wrong with that 13%? Why are they approving? See, that's what the other 87% are saying, what's wrong with these 13% that they approve of the Congress? Now, yet there has to be honor to them as individuals. That is, if they make a law, as long as it doesn't conflict with God's law, then I am to obey it. If they tell me to pay this much in taxes, I am to obey it. If they tell us and outlaw alcohol, I don't know. That's now that's where they have quit legislating and they've gone to meddling. That's not going to happen. So I'm not going to cross that. If I had lived during Prohibition, the one time of year, and I believe there was exception for religious that they could have it. Anyway, that would be the one time of year that I, you know, that just hurts to think about it, doesn't it? But our government did that at one time. I would not visit a speakeasy. So, because as long as they aren't legislating against God. Now, some of you would say if they outlaw alcohol, that's legislating against God. So, I mean, you can find a verse say that tells you that it's okay to drink wine. So, that's fine. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. I don't think so. But it goes on. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise for the same. And, you know, that's mostly true. For he is God's minister to you for good. And let's face it. It's because of our government that people are not breaking into every house and stealing. I mean, there are some who do that, but you know, people are not carrying guns and just shooting people because there is, some people don't do it. But a lot of it is because we have government. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. And I did mention this morning that we had a minister who used to be in Worldwide, and then he left Worldwide, and he was teaching people how to get out of paying taxes. This was up in Virginia. And he had them, they formed themselves as a little church, and they took a vow of poverty. So the house was owned by the church, the car was owned by the church, everything they had was owned by the church, and churches don't pay taxes. And this gentleman ended up in jail because the government saw that as fraudulent. And so he ended up in jail, and then when he got out, his wife went in. They let one of them stay out each time so to take care of the children. How many of you happen to know about that? A few of you do. You all do know. You know, it says you pay taxes. You might say, well, it's not in the Constitution, or it's not right in the Constitution. There are people who say that. But, you know, when they argued over it with Jesus, he said, bring me the coin. See? For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I'd like to also turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Wow, look at these people who heard this morning are still, they're turning in their Bibles and even have notes. And Mrs. Trebig sings when she accompanies with the piano. You know, a lot of people who play don't do that. So, and I understand. Roy Clark says he cannot play and sing at the same time. He's made that claim. Have you ever heard he's made that claim? He said, yeah, some of you nodding. He says, I can play the guitar, and he's great. He's a great guitarist and a good singer. But he says he cannot play. And by the way, we went to see him, my wife and I. It was a benefit for the firefighters. So we paid the money and went down, and he still has a wonderful show. Puts on a wonderful show. That was last year. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. The Revised Standard Version doesn't say ordinance of man. It has human institution. So it's not just the law, it's the institution of government. The NIV has every authority instituted among men. So every authority instituted among men. So you're getting down to, small things. He says, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king is supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. That's a generalization. Once again, they can be very corrupt. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, we'd say, well, I'm not really an American. I am a citizen, and my citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. But here he's talking that you do this. You're free, but not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people. Honor all people. We know that wives are commanded to respect their husbands. But it also says, husbands, honor your wife as the weaker vessel, giving honor to the wife. And I've mentioned this in a sermon here in St. Pete years ago, and some people remember it, that I brought a big, I guess it was a pan at that time, just an iron pan, and I brought a beautiful goblet. You're nodding your head. Do you remember that sermon? And I said, now, what does it mean with the weaker vessel? Does it mean inferior? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Let's think about, does it mean inferior? Are women inferior at school, in classes, in making grades? When I went to school, it was the girls that got all the good grades. It did reverse in high school, where I made better grades than most of the girls in science, in physics, chemistry, and math. But I'll tell you what, I went to Clemson, then the University of South Carolina, studying engineering. And I took chemistry there. And the teacher would get up there and long board, and he'd get all of us lost. All of us did terribly except one girl. And she just aced. She aced it. So women, in many ways, in some areas especially, are not just as intelligent, but more so. And they find little differences between men and women, but in general, men and women are fairly equal in intelligence, except maybe around 15, 16, 17, when young men begin to have testosterone hit their brains, and it just removes good sense completely, and they lose their intelligence. Most of us couldn't even think at that particular time, other than about one thing, girls. I've mentioned I used to attend the Episcopal Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, went to the Catholic Church. Depended on what girl I was interested in at the time. A little cute little bike girl that lived actually just down from me, and she was Catholic and invited me to midnight mass. So Susan Bike, can you understand, and some of you may have heard me say this before, what I really worshipped were heavenly bodies. So I mean, about that time I lost my mind. But going back to ladies being the, you know, the weaker vessel, in your china cabinet, those are the things you give honor to. Underneath the sink are things you don't give honor to. Now, maybe under the sink or somewhere like that, you have pots, pans, cast iron skillets, pressure cooker. In your china cabinet are the weaker vessels. Not inferior, but they are weaker. And women in general are weaker than men physically. That's a generalization. I'm 70 now. Probably some of you ladies could pound me. I don't know. And I hope you don't. But my wife in her china cabinet and up on, you know, fancy little shelves puts delicate. And I prefer the English word delicate. She gives honor to the delicate vessels. And I gave that sermon. How many of you happen to remember? You've heard that sermon. Just a few of you. Okay. The sermon was on, that a woman is the glory. The title of the sermon was The Glory of Man. That's how I title it. The glory of man is the woman. That she's the glory of man. So they're not necessarily inferior. But I bring that out because it says, husbands, honor your wives. So it isn't just, the respect and honor doesn't just go one way. A man is to realize that his wife is his glory. His glory. My wife is my glory. And what a joy to have her. So the respect goes both ways. In this country, in this world, you hear this, husbands and wives, they just, you know, they say very disrespectful things. Very disrespectful things to each other. And it's just wrong. And you know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I realize it's difficult when your husband acts like an idiot. See? But it's not polite to call him an idiot. You find some euphemism. Some nice way to say, honey, you don't start the sentence with you. Have you learned that? You don't start the sentence with you. You start off with how you feel. You know, I was really hurt when you said that. Or another thing that's maybe to say, don't raise your hand, do any of you say ouch when you've learned? You do say ouch? All right. Yeah, that's good. You do. I say ouch too, but you know, that's one thing you can do is instead of railing back, because all of us say things that are hurtful. All of us do to our mates. So, that's an office. My wife has an office of being the mother in the house, and I should show honor to the mother of my children and to my wife, and she should show honor to me. So it goes all ways. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I want to comment on one verse, one ordinance that God gave Israel that is, you know, it's in Exodus 20. He gave the Ten Commandments. I'm not turning there. Then the next three chapters are ordinances and statutes. And Exodus 21, 22, 23. And then they ratify the covenant in chapter 24. But one ordinance, and you can turn there if you want. It's Exodus 22, verse 28. But it's so short, I'll just quote it. You shall not revile God. That seems pretty obvious. Then it says, nor curse a ruler of your people. I don't think anyone in here would curse. I hope that no one in here curses anyway. To say, damn so-and-so, that's a curse. But that you would not curse the president, that seems obvious. God's laws expand. And there are principles. For instance, God says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. But then he gives four commandments to expand that. And then there are other commandments to expand that. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he gives six commandments to expand that. And one of them is to thou shalt not commit adultery. But that can be expanded to not even to look on a woman, to lust after her, and obviously not to commit fornication. It's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's contained in the Ten Commandments in that command that says not to commit adultery. And so they expand. So what about this verse right here where it says, nor curse a ruler of your people. Nor curse a ruler of your people. Paul, I want to turn to Acts 23, verses 1 through 5. Paul quoted that, but he said it just a little differently. I don't know if that's because of the Greek or whatever, but it changed just slightly. And let me explain that God said that when you have a high priest, that when he died, and the high priest was to stay in office till he died, there were the cities of refuge. And a man could flee there, and if it was an accidental killing, he had to stay there until the death of the high priest. So the plan of God was that when a man became high priest, he stayed there in that office until he died. However, the Romans changed that. They would get men who followed them and supported them. And the Romans began appointing high priest. He who has the sword makes the rules. So they appointed the high priest. Paul was gone from Jerusalem quite a bit, and he did not know who was high priest when he came back, and he was captured. It says, then Paul, Acts 23, verse 1, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Now, you're not supposed to be struck until you have been convicted. And they hadn't convicted him. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Now, I wouldn't consider that the worst condemnation if somebody said to me, you whitewashed wall. There are other things that they could say that would be a lot worse. But that was enough. Verse 4, and those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Called him a whitewashed wall. Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. That doesn't mean that we are unable to know, to see faults. I think a lot of times it's the tone of voice that we might have. A person could say of Bill Clinton, well, he obviously was not telling the truth when he said, I have not had sex with that woman. In my mind, he certainly did. And I could say he lied. Or I could say, Bill Clinton is a liar. Now, that is, I'm just doing that as an example. I'm not saying that I would do that normally, but sometimes the tone of voice and the way you say it. See, somebody I know is recording this, and they will send that out, and it'll be on the internet. But I happen to know that 90% of the church members will say, "All right, on." So, way to go, Mr. Kellers. You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. I think it's a matter of the way we show respect. The way we show respect. And sometimes the tone of voice very much conveys the respect. And notice, it wasn't just civil rulers. He didn't just pick a civil ruler. He picked, in this case, a religious ruler. God puts men in office. I personally feel that when a new pope is chosen, that there is a discussion that goes on in heaven in which God takes part and Satan makes comments. And there may be others who make comments. Now, I've not actually been there to listen. And I'm not asking to go there. I mentioned that usually in the Bible, when an angel shows up, the first thing the angel says is, "Fear not." And that's exactly, if an angel showed up, which I'm not asking for that either, that's exactly, those are the first words I would want to hear, is, "Fred, fear not." What I don't want to hear is, "Fred, be afraid." That's what I don't want to hear. So I know God's listening to this, and I hope he's not saying, "Well, you know, that's exactly what Fred needs to hear, so maybe we should do that." I hope that's not happening right now. So if a person has an office established by God, it may be that he is someone who is truly inept, wrong, misinformed. He could be a liar. Could be such. I want to read Numbers 12 because it's an interesting example to me of both respect and a lack of respect. And the one who shows the respect here is, listen to who I'm saying is showing respect, is God. God is going to show respect to three people and their office. Not one person. He's going to show respect to three people and their office. Now, one he shows more respect to, and the other one kind of in the middle, and the other one less respect, but it's respect in all three cases. Notice Numbers 12, verses 1 through 16. By the way, I should mention, Miriam is called a prophetess in Exodus 15 and verse 20. She led the women out to sing. God used her in saving Moses. I don't know how old Miriam was, but she decided to follow Moses in the basket. And when the princess was there, she went up to her and said, "Do you want an Israelite woman to be the nursemaid?" And got her mother. So her mother was able to nurse her baby brother. But I don't know how old Miriam was, but boy, did God use her and show some wisdom in what she did. Of course, we know God guided her, but he guided her because he was using her natural abilities, surely, as he does. Anyway, here in Numbers 12, verses 1 through 16, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. I won't go into that this afternoon. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And that is true. He had spoken through them also. See, it'd be like me saying, "Well, you know." Somebody told me one time, "Well, a pastor rank minister said that," and I'm a pastor. I was a pastor rank minister. We don't have ranks anymore. In that same way, we have positions, offices, jobs, responsibilities, and some people pastor. And you could say that they're a pastor. We don't take the title, though, Pastor so-and-so. They say, oh, Pastor Ranked Minister said that. And I said, well, I'm Pastor Ranked Minister, and I don't see it that way. And I don't even know who it was. But, you know, I could do that and say, well, God's used me. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. That's just an amazing statement. That's an amazing statement. If it weren't in the Bible, I would have trouble if somebody else came along and said, well, I believe Moses is the most humble man on earth. And I'd say, well, you know, that seems like a stretch. But here it is in the Bible, so I believe it. The Bible says it, you know, I believe it. Verse 4, suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, ooh, 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 ooh. This is a danger right here. When God calls you out to the woodshed, back at that time, the woodshed was called the tabernacle of meeting. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. I would be trembling badly. I'd be trembling in my boots if I had boots. Ooh, ooh. Verse 5. Maybe sandals. I'd be trembling in my sandals. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. So they had to walk forward. Now I am really trembling. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. Now, this is not the moment to interrupt and say, Lord, you're talking to us, and we hear you plainly, so it's not just Moses. Ooh, I wouldn't say that at all. They might could have said that, couldn't they? Ooh, they didn't. And not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And said, well, Lord, we're your servants also. They didn't say it. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them. Doesn't say they said anything, but if they said anything, I think they probably said something, oh, forgive us, something like that. Or maybe they were just so scared they'd said nothing. Their anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. People have asked, and it's a valid question, why didn't God make Aaron leprous? It isn't because, in my mind, it's not because he's a man. It's because he had an office of high priest. Miriam was a prophetess, but she was not the high priest. And so for the office, God showed respect to the office that he had. First of all, he showed respect for Moses and the office that he had. Then he showed respect to Aaron and the office that he had. What about Miriam? So he said to Moses, oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Boy, what a change of tone. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? There's no law I know of that says that, but it must have been a tradition back then that if a child, or maybe male or female, if the father was really unhappy and wanted to punish maybe an adult child that you couldn't spank anymore, you spit in her face and she's ashamed 7 days, or, you know, she's put out or whatever they do. I don't know. Let her, it says, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that she may be received again. Now, you know, this obviously would have been known to everybody. I mean, they spoke against Moses. I don't know how many they spoke about, but they surely the whole camp eventually found out, if they didn't know before, why they went out to the tabernacle of meeting. That wasn't done in a closet. And why that she was leprous, and why she was put out of the camp. So everybody would have known. But wait. God is going to show respect for Miriam in front of all of Israel. Even though they could say, oh, that Miriam, wow, look at her. Hey, is there a soul in here who hasn't said something that you just wish you had never said? Something really foolish. And after that, she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. Notice this. And the people did not journey on till Miriam was brought in again. Why didn't they journey on? Were they showing respect for Miriam? No, it was God. Who determined when they journeyed? God did. That's right. He moved the pillar. Cloud by day, fire by night. God said, you're going to stay right here until Miriam comes back in. So he showed respect. There were three different offices there, and each office was higher than the other, and he showed most respect for one, then the other, then the other. He showed respect for the offices he himself had created. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth, camped in the wilderness of Paran. I want to say that I have not always shown respect. Now, I've gotten in trouble many times. But it was never for insubordination that I can ever remember. Look, my dad was a colonel in the Army. I grew up answering the phone, Colonel Keller's quarters, Fred speaking. Now, that's when we lived on base. If we lived off base, you know, I could just say hello. But on base, Colonel Keller's quarters, Fred speaking. And I can't ever remember any time I've gotten myself in hot water for insubordination. I have gotten myself in trouble many, many, many times by saying something that was really funny, and I may have been the only one who thought it was funny. Lucretia says that one of the reasons she married me was my sense of humor. And she has said, you know, it isn't all bad. Over 90% of the time, your humor is not offensive. Well, that means that somewhere under 10%, my humor is offensive. I've always treated Lucretia with respect, except something I said that I thought was very funny and she didn't. And it has hurt her feelings. And then I'm sorry that I said it. And I have had the same thing. I've said things that I thought were funny, which I won't repeat right now. And they really were funny. Even Mr. Jim Franks, when he called me about one of them, he agreed that it was very funny. And but the only one person I know, well, maybe two people who wanted to, who were a little upset. One just a little upset. The other one heard it on the internet, and it happened to be my son-in-law's mother, the one who's the alcoholic. And she did. We have such a good relationship with Matt. He's a great guy. And she is very jealous of it. And so she called. She's not a member of United, but she called. And anyway, he just said, look, when they're... And it was recorded. He said, be careful when it's something going out. He said, your own congregation has learned to put up with you. You know, they understand. It's... But if it's going out everywhere, he said, be careful what you put out. So I've gotten in trouble, but not for insubordination. And I want to mention that when I that was true in worldwide, the first two pastors, I was not ordained for over 2 years, being an assistant. And that's because of my sense of humor. That really was. I mean, I worked for one man who just did not have a sense of humor at all. And I tried to control it. It didn't always work. But Monday mornings were always chew out morning. And just to give you an idea of what it was like the first 2.5 years, they transferred me to Baltimore, Maryland, and the pastor to work under the pastor, Guy Engelbart, and his wife, Penny. Anybody of you happen to remember? Guy, a few of you do? Well, let me tell you, and you know them, so you'll know that this is true. We pulled up in the driveway. They had been looking for us. They walked out on their porch, and they both had a big grin. And Lucretia turned to me, and she said, this will be different. And they were wonderful. They were a wonderful, wonderful couple and treated us like their brother and sister. So that was very nice. Even when with Mr. Tkach, I never called Mr. Tkach a liar. I know some people have. Now, everybody's been a liar in their life. Who tells the truth their whole life? You know who probably is? They've done studies, and women are more truthful than men. You probably could have guessed that. And older women are the most honest people in all their studies. The older women. Younger men are the biggest liars on earth. And usually the lie is something like, your eyes are so beautiful. He does think she's beautiful. But it's the whole pack. It's the rest of the package he's really interested in. And your eyes are so beautiful. I just love you so much. What he's really saying is, I love me so much. And you could do me so much good. So, but younger men tend to be bigger liars. And older women tend to be more honest. I was, before Mr. Tkach died, I was asked, did I want to go see him? Because he always treated me very nicely. I disagreed with him on the changes he had made. So this would have been about May or June. No, it was early June, I think. It was right after Pentecost that I went out. I was a regional pastor, and they had us out 4 times a year. And this was the last one I went to. And Mr. Tkach was in the hospital dying. And they said, Fred, you know, do you... And he liked me, I liked him, but I didn't want to say anything that would be offensive. And I was just didn't know what I would say to him. I mean, what if he asked me, did I agree with the changes? So I just didn't bother saying anything. Mr. Joe Tkach Jr. always was very nice to me. And people tend to like me. They just don't trust me around a microphone. Guy Engelbart said that one time. He said, I said something I thought was very funny, and he thought it was funny, but it wasn't in the microphone. And he said, oh, and we let this guy near a microphone. I didn't know. Mr. Tkach Jr. he didn't want me to leave. He said, take a month off. Take 2 months off. Take 3 months off. But I couldn't stay. But I didn't ever call them liars. Look, when I was still an employee of Worldwide Church of God, I felt I had to, within God's law, I had to be a loyal employee. I mean, that was still an office. All offices are of God. So I just, even if it's the Catholic Church, there, I think God is involved in choosing men in the Catholic Church, at least the Pope, in my opinion. You can disagree. The thing was that while I was there, I wanted to do as what a loyal employee should do. And so they did tell me, Mr. Tkach Jr. said, they told all of us, that we could tell people our personal opinion, but we have to mention it's our personal opinion. Well, that didn't last. That lasted for just a little while. That did not last. But I was asked by Willa Bean and her husband Paul to come out and see them. And she said that we had just had Mr. Jimmy Frittle through, who on Pentecost, who had gone right through Galatians and murdered it, just murdered it. And so she asked me to come out, and she said, "We want you." Now I'm talking about how Willa does. You know, I don't mention Paul, but it's she's the speaker sex. You know, the weaker sex, the speaker sex. One of the songs says. Anyway, she said, "We want you to tell us the Book of Galatians and explain it." I said, now, I'm an employee of the Worldwide Church of God. And as an employee, if you want me to explain what is the doctrine of the Worldwide Church of God, I will. Or if you want me to explain my personal opinion about Galatians, I will explain that. And she said, we want your personal opinion. And I explained my personal opinion. She said, well, no, we're thinking about then going to United Church of God. And I said, that's fine. My associate had started it. I stayed trying to, in vain, keep somebody from coming in and replacing me who was going to teach all kinds of error to these people that I would have died for. And it just to think of somebody coming in and doing that, because I loved those people. I've been in Nashville for 24 years. And most of it in United now, obviously. But I still knew those people very well. And so she said, I'm going to United. And I said, that's fine. I'm not going to burn your bridge. Many people would say, Mr. Kellers, I'm thinking of going to United. If I go, can I come back? And I say, well, look, I'm not going to burn your bridge behind them. And I didn't say this, but I was thinking it, because I want to take that bridge eventually, which I did. I could take what I had so long. They posted two deacons, one on either side, back behind the curtains, that if I tried to stand up and say anything, you know, say, well, they're wrong out there, this, that, and the other, which I wouldn't have done, not and still be their employee. If somebody came to me personally, I'd say, well, here's my personal opinion. But they were ready to yank me off, because my associate pastor had done that. He had stood up and I would not have done that. I'm not knocking him, but he said, I want to tell you about the Sabbath, the two sides, how to see it. And he stood up and he told about, now here's the argument for the Sabbath. And he explained why you should keep the Sabbath. He said, now what's the argument against the Sabbath? And he said, it's because Mr. Tkach says you don't have to keep it. And then that was the end of the sermon. Well, then that was the end of him being there, obviously. He left. He and I, doctrinally, were completely in agreement. But that's just not the way I personally would have done it. He did what he felt he had to do. I'm just saying that if I disagree, I have to put sometimes things in God's hands. I teach, and I have said this, I don't know how many times they've heard me say this in Nashville and Bowling Green, we need to have faith. And we need to put things in God's hands and trust in Him. And we need peace. That's inner peace. If I'm angry about the same thing 2 days in a row, I'm wrong. Now, I've been angry about the same thing 2 days in a row. But that's wrong, because the sun's not supposed to go down on my wrath. And The third thing I tell them, we need patience, because sometimes God doesn't change things right away. I think God is, I think Satan is very angry with us being on WGN. Now, that's my opinion. I haven't, as I said, I haven't been to heaven, haven't heard any discussions up there, so they haven't told me, oops, just went over an hour. I won't go over an hour in Nashville, but I don't get here that often. There I can always, I can finish it next week. We've got till midnight. Weren't you saying that we have till midnight here? You've got it rented for the rest of the, not really. You know, sometimes you just have to put things, but I think Satan's really angry. I do think he is very, very, very angry at United Church of God. And I think that there was a conversation similar to what happened in the book of Job. And that Satan said, yeah, just allow me to go down there and do this. And things really looked bad for Job. And we've gone through things like we're going through now back in 74. Look, on the East Coast, where I had been up and down, it was really bad in 74. The man who was the best man at my wedding, Ken Westby. Some of you know Ken Westby? Remember him? Was the one who was the real leader of that. The first elder to leave was in Shreveport. And some of you know him, John Mitchell. Married to Lucretia's sister. They're divorced now. So I was really... Ken Westby's wife, Joanne, called Lucretia and just was anything but pleasant because we weren't supporting them. So we've been through some of these things. And then it was 78 we had trouble. And then the receivership, wasn't that 79? And things we've... The Bible teaches that God's church will have trouble. And eventually, look, this is the green tree. Remember they were leading Jesus out of the city, and there were some women weeping. And he turned to them and he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep for yourselves, not for me. For if they do this in the green tree, what will they do in the dry?" Later, that area went into drought, famine. Remember, Paul was collecting things. What was he doing? To take food, material, money to Jerusalem so the brethren there could eat. They brought food up. And then later, the zealots in the city, after they cast out the Romans, began fighting among themselves. While the Romans were, that was the dry tree. So he's saying, if they do this in the green tree, what will happen in the dry? Brethren, this is the green tree. How many of you have a refrigerator in your house? An older refrigerator probably in the garage, because you didn't throw it away, you just put it in the garage and you keep your beer or whatever you like in it. And you have a separate freezer. Besides that, how many of you? Any? Oh, there you go. How many of you, the refrigerator in your house is a side-by-side refrigerator? There you go. I've got a side-by-side refrigerator in my house. The old refrigerator is in the garage, and we got a chest freezer right beside it. And the electricity works, and I have gasoline in my car, and there is propane in the propane tank out in the backyard to keep our house warm, which we really need right this time. And I'm still getting a paycheck, and you can go down to the grocery store, and there's a lot of food. Let me tell you, there's going to come a time. There's going to come a time when this country is down and out, and it will be the dry tree, and brother will deliver up brother to death. Let me just say that there are people in this room who would probably at that time, I'm not going to say what you think, would give their life to save yours. But there may be somebody, not you, of course. I would never say that about you. But there may be somebody who would, with Satan's influence, without God's protection, I am not stronger than Paul, or Peter, I mean, who could have been, Satan, could an archangel sift me like wheat? Absolutely. I'm just flesh. And this is the green tree. It is a trial that we're going through. I want to mention a few verses that I didn't get to, if you don't mind. I'll just read them to you. I did think about reading Ephesians 5:33, it's just where it says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And I am not going to read to you the book of Jude, I got wordy this afternoon, didn't I? I'm old and tired. Two sermons, too much. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities." Oh, I gave a sermon. Paul told Titus to remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, and I'm doing that. I'm reminding us to be subject to rulers and authorities. To obey. By the way, before I forget it, I hope that there's not division. I'm totally against division. God, the first liar is Satan. The one who brought the first murder was Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. The first divider was Satan. My parents divorced. You have division. Division between parents and children. It's really sad. And my sister lives here, and she and my dad were totally estranged before he died. Very sad. And that's division. Satan is a great divider. He brought the first lie into the universe. He brought the first murder, and he brought the first division. And division is a bad thing. I mean, I realize there are problems. And if there is a division, and there are some who have left, let me say this. Let us love them and speak totally respectfully, and not use disparaging terms. You and I haven't walked in their shoes. If anyone here decides to separate, please remain friends if you can. Love each other. Speak kindly. It says here to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Wow. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. I should have added to faith, peace and patience, humility. And then, last one I'll read to you is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." I would really like, I find myself like so many, wearing so many hats, and I would really, that's the end of the sermon, by the way, so we'll just chat. I'd really like to come back. Yeah, I'd get up, walk around, go get some coffee if you want. I would come back for the song, though. I'd really like to come back down sometime and see my sister. She's been estranged from the whole family. And I'm the only one that she will really talk to. And she won't talk that much to me. I hope to see her. We're planning on seeing each other tomorrow. And she's estranged from her son and daughter. It's a sad thing. She's estranged from my brother. But I love her dearly. I was 12 years old when she was born. I thought she hung the moon. So it's sad. Anyway, I'm going to really pray that our meeting go well tomorrow. and that it go fine. I'd like to bring my wife down here sometime again and spend a little more time with my sister. She's had disability now. She hasn't worked for a while. So anyway, maybe I can get back here to see you guys if I can get some time just to visit my sister and you. That didn't hurt so bad, did it?